Thank you for joining us for another great message from The Door. This week, Brian Chavary continues our series on relationships with a great message on friendships.
Good? Yeah, how's everybody doing tonight? One more time. How's everybody doing tonight? Man, we gotta like wake up a little bit, right? Well, good news. I wanted to share with you. First thing, I'm so honored. I'm so honored to share with you tonight something that the Lord has put in my heart. And second thing, I'm pretty excited. Yesterday, I don't know if many of you know that, but my dad, he has kidney disease, so he has to do dialysis every day. I think it's 3 days or 4 times a day. Many of you didn't know that. Well, you're part of my life a little bit. You know a little bit about my life now. But yesterday, they told him that they have a kidney for him. They got a kidney for him, so in the next 4 months, they're going to prepare his body to actually receive that kidney. So I'm pretty thankful. So when we were singing, "You're the God of Miracles," he is the God of miracles. You see, miracles may not happen the way you expect, but they come many other ways. Would you agree with that? So if you're coming here, if you came here expecting a miracle, let's put God, this mighty God, in our little heads. You see, that's our mistake sometimes. We try to put God here in our heads. We try to, we put expectations of him, human expectations on him. You see, when I was praying for my dad, I was like, God healed him. God healed him for 2 years now. And now this comes. And I can see, I was trying to put God in this little head when he was trying to do many other things. Do you see? So tonight, I want to challenge you that when I'm speaking, don't try to put God in this little bubble, in this little square. Let God speak into your heart. Let God speak into your soul, because we need him, right? How about we pray? Just bow your heads and just take some time to actually listen from the Lord. Take some time to actually just with your own mouth, just said, God, would you speak to me tonight? Let him talk to you right now. Jesus, we're just so thankful for you, Lord. We're so thankful for your awesome love towards us. Thank you, Lord, because we don't have to do anything but just to receive from your love. But we don't have to strive anymore. I don't have to run like crazy anymore, worrying about what's going to happen. But I can just trust that you have everything in control. Lord, there's no words that could express our thankfulness to you. God, you've been so good to us. Lord, we may be tired, we may be weary, God. But we know, Lord, that tonight we want to receive straight from you, Lord. We know with all our hearts, and we say yes and amen, Father, for whatever is going to be spoken. Let my words, God, not be my words, but let it be yours, God. Let this message not be my message, but let it be your message, God. Let the people in this room see your heart. Let the people of this room see what you prepare for them, Lord. Let them see it right now, God, speaking to their hearts right now, Father. Right now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Whew. Just so you know, I'm a pretty laid back. I don't like all this like seriousness, like straight faces. You can smile, you can laugh if I throw a joke, and if it's a bad joke, just tell me, dude, that was bad. But let's just enjoy. Let's just have fun. How about that? Good? I honestly believe that for many of you, this message, the thing that I'm going to share with you, has the potential to impact your life in the years to come. Why? Because I'm going to talk about friendships. We're in this month, we're talking about relationships. We're talking different kind of relationships. Tonight, we're going to focus on friendships. If we get our friends right, the right friends, listen to me, the right friends will set you up for success. The right friends will set you up for success in every area in your life that matters, every single one. Okay? Listen to me. The right friends will set you up for success in every area in your life that matters. And the flip side is true as well. If we get our friendships wrong, that can be a big disaster. That can set you up for more pain, more trials, more struggles. That can set you up for more destruction than you could possibly imagine. That's why this message is so important. That's what we don't talk about it, not anymore in church or anywhere else. And I'm going to explain to you why. But I'm going to start with something that I've heard many people said, even my dad. And it's this. If you're taking notes, you can put this in your notes. It says, you show me your friends, and I will show you your future. How many of you have heard that before? Raise your hand. My dad used to say it all the time. My dad will say this. You will show me your 5 closest friends, and I will show you where you will be in 5 years. Every single day, he'll say, show me your 5 closest friends, and I'm going to show you where you will be in 5 friends. And I'm going to tell you right now, you show me your friends, and I will show you your future. I didn't understand that sometimes. Now I do, that I'm a dad, and I'm a husband, and I'm a friend. You show me the people that you spend most of the time, and I will show you the trajectory of your life. In fact, Solomon thousands of years ago says something that will support what I just said. Look, go to your Bibles. If you brought it, go to your tech Bibles or real Bibles or whatever you have. But go to Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs 13:20. And these are the words of the wisest man that ever lived. Yep. Proverbs 13:20. And it says, and he, listen to what Solomon said, walk with the wise and you'll become. Walk with the wise and you'll become what? And he says in the other side, for a companion of fools does what? Suffers what? Harm. In other words, if you hang out with the people who are better than you, who are wiser than you, who are smarter than you, who have better marriages than you, who have better relationships than you, who are better with money than you, you are going to become, you're going to rise up to where they are. If you hang out with the right people, you're going to rise up where they are. In the other side, if you hang out with a bunch of mediocre people, with a bunch of, stupid people, people that get drunk on the weekends, people that do bad stuff, guess what? You're going to what? Go to their level. You show me your friends, and I will show you your future. Listen, you're probably like, oh my gosh, he's been so rich. Listen, God has like went straight into the heart this week. Because I was like, oh my gosh, where am I? You show me your friend, and I'll show you your future. Tell the person next to you, you show me your friends, and I'll show you your future, boy or girl. Say it. In fact, look at, if I look at my life, and look at, this is it, if there is any area of success, listen, if there is any area of success in my life, which is there, I mean, you just have to hang out with me a long time, but if there is any area of success in my life, It is directly to God. Using the right people to lead me into the right situation. You hear that? If there is any area of success in my life first, it is God. That is tied up to God that use people to guide me through the right situation. If you show me any area of success, I will show you how God used the right people to help influence me in the right direction. In the other side, and I'm going to be real to you, okay? I'm going to be totally real to you today. When I got in a really big trouble, rarely was just me by myself. When I grew up in Peru, I'm from Peru. I know my accent is pretty American, but, you know. So, I am from Peru. And when I got in trouble in Peru, guess what? It wasn't just me. Think about it. I was like, man, that's so true. Who knows what I'm talking about? Right? Who knows? Like, oh my gosh, nobody here is perfect. Come on, guys. We all have got in trouble before. So when we've got in trouble, rarely we did it alone, right? Rarely I went do something stupid by myself. Right? Almost every time I was running with people doing their own things, allowing them to influence me in the wrong direction, you show me your friends and I will show you your future. Now, how many of you have noticed that there's a paper where you've sitting? Do you have it? Show me if you have it. Boom. Well, that paper is there for a purpose. And I know, and this is has left me totally, but I don't know if we have pens or anything, but if you do have a pen, please help out. But this is what we're going to do. Take the paper and list your five closest friends. Wait. Your five closest friends, okay? Don't think about it right now. Listen to me. Look at me. Don't think about it right now. Just don't think about it. Many of you are like, oh my gosh, what am I going to put? You don't have to show anybody, okay? First of all, if the person next to you is not going to get offended if his name is not in the paper, okay? But I want you to take that paper and list your five closest friends. Listen, the friends, closest friends, the one that you can call at 2 in the morning, the ones that you know they're going to be there when you're in trouble, the ones that are going to be there when you're in success and in defeat. 1 minute. Take 1 minute to list your five closest friends. Please do it. Please say, oh my gosh, I'm not going to do it. Please do it. Please, 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 I beg you to do it. Just be sincere. If you have zero, don't put anything. If you have one, put one. If you have two, put two. If you have three, if you have 10, use the back paper. I mean, who knows, okay? Right now, go. I want to see everybody writing. Even in your phones, if you don't have a pen, write it in your phone. Put a bullet point, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Again, the people you can call at 2 in the morning, the people you can be transparent, and they know you intimately. I'm talking about your closest friends. You can put me there if you want me to. And just, I know. Are we ready? Not yet? Raise your hand if you're ready. Oh, okay, come on. People are just writing it down. Like, people are good. Put me down there. Your five closest friends. Okay, moving on. My mom used to say this all the time in Spanish, of course, but she just said, you become like those you run with. How many of your mom had told you that before? My mom have told every time, oh my, you're just hanging out with them. That's what you're acting like that, son. Like it or not, your mom was right. You become like those you run with. If you're pursuing God, listen, if you're pursuing God with all your heart, chances are there are three or two of the people you wrote are pursuing God with all their heart as well. If you're pursuing God, if God is the thing you're pursuing, two or three people that you just wrote in your list are pursuing God with all their heart. And in the other side, and vice versa, if you got drunk or did something stupid, chances are there are three or four people in your list have done it with you. You hear me? If you're pursuing God with all your heart, two or three friends are doing it with you. If you're getting drunk or wasted or whatever, two or three friends are doing it with you. Right? Yes? Yes? Would you agree with that? You show me your friends, and I will show you your future. Now let's define friendship, okay? What is friendship? This is, Tim, put the next one. Listen, this is a Facebook translation. Facebook translation, Proverbs 17:17 says this. A friend is someone you may or may not know well. A friend is someone you may or may not know well who accepts your friend request on Facebook. This person is born to like and comment on your post to make you feel good about yourself. Is that friendship? Yes? No? Let's go to the Bible, Proverbs 17:17. Let's be real though, but if you read that, let's be a little real. Facebook, it's coming and putting this wrong concept of what friendship is. And I'm totally with you in here because I'm a huge fan of Facebook. But we're allowing Facebook to define friendships today. They're having a real impact in friendships today. But let's see what the Bible, let's see what God says about friendships. Proverbs 17:17. If you're going to go into the Bible, it's going to be here in the screens. A friend loves at all times. A brother is born for a time of what? I'm going to read that again because I didn't think you got it. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of what? Adversity. Listen, wouldn't it be amazing if you have five or seven friends who love you all the time? Not just for a short season. Not just for a short season of your life, but I'm talking about decades. I'm talking about future. I'm talking about, like, they know your wife. They know and they mentor your kids. What if you have a friend that will love you all the time? What if? What if they invest in your children? Where you learn and they learn from you. And you make each other better when they can tell you when you're doing something stupid. What if? What if we have a friend that will love you all the time? What if? Just think about it. What if? What if you had a community of people like that that stayed with you for decades? What if? And this is where I'm stuck in. Because since I moved here, I've had friends. Okay, since I moved to CF and I had friends. Then I went to work in a church in Texas. I had friends. Then I went to New Mexico. I did not have friends. And now I'm having a lot of friends, okay? But listen, every single friend that I had, every single one, now I'm not talking about Columbus. Columbus is my present. But before, every single one has been an assistant friend. And when I was writing this, I was like, what is going on with the mentality of an American friendship? I'm including in you, okay, because my perspective has changed and I've acted the same way. But if I look at my friends in Peru, I have three friends in Peru, three that I've grew up with. I've known them 22 years old, 22 years. I've known them for 22 years. And they've been my best buddies. I mean, I've grown up with them, and our friendship is still the same. I just went back home a month ago. We were the same. It's like our friendship has never been touched or anything. But it was the same thing. Like, I talked to them. Even though we don't do life together, even though we're in different seasons, even though I'm way miles away from them, our friendship remains. And what happened with the ones that did life with me 2 years ago? I don't know. I'm being totally honest to you because I'm in the same place than you. What if we had friends that will love you all the time, not just seasons, but you know that with the friendships that you're investing right now are going to be for decades and decades and decades, forever. What if? What if? And myself including. A friend loves at all times. The problem, guys, is according to sociological studies, very few of us have friends like that anymore. And I went to see really a statistic. In fact, listen, according to the American Sociological Review, the average American today has two closest friends. You're like, okay, well, it's not bad. And I thought we were worse than that. The average American today has two closest friends. And chances are that many of you have wrote one or two friends, closest friends. I mean, many of you probably wrote more, but really, really, you only have about one to two friends that are really close to you. May not seem alarming to you, but what if I tell you that 2.5 decades ago, the average American friendships were 6 to up. Just 25 years ago, a normal American person had 6 to more friends. Is that crazy? We've cut our friendships in 1/3. And listen, what is even more scary is that 25% of Americans don't have friends at all. 1 to 4 in 4 people don't have any friends. Is that crazy? What is happening to us? What is happening with this concept of community? What is happening to this concept of trusting people? Not just God, but people. Why do you think it's happening? I did some research, and I'm going to give you 3 top reasons, not necessarily in order, why our friendships declining. First one, the increasing of work hours. The increasing of work hours. We're connected at all the time. We're working all the time. Why are friendships declining? One, because the increasing of work hours. People are working so much, they're not developing relationships. Second one, divorce rates. You're like, divorce rates? How is that happening? Listen, it's like this. Studies show that not only divorces are hard on families, but they're actually hard on friendships as well. It's like this. Hey, you get this money, I'll get this money. You get that kid, and I'll get that kid. You get that friend, and I'm going to get this friend. Have you ever thought about it? Divorces are increasing, so friendships are being broken. The third one, and not least, the explosion of social media. Whatever you think about social media, you have to acknowledge that social media is redefining the way we think about friends, okay? I'm a huge fan of social media, love it. For example, I'm gonna tell you, years ago, listen to this, years ago, many of you would never call all your friends and tell them what were you having for breakfast. Would you? Would you many of you call, hey, Julio, I'm having oatmeal for breakfast. Hey, Alberto, dude, I'm having oatmeal for breakfast, dude. Now, a lot of people, including me, Lord, we even go live on social media. Hey, guys, I'm having oatmeal for breakfast. Oh, I'm taking a picture. There I lie, ducky face. Pow. Pew. Oatmeal for breakfast. And what experts says, look at, now rather than becoming more concerned on developing friendships face-to-face, intimate friendships, we are becoming obsessed with our online image of what people think we are. This is what experts are saying. We're not concerned about face-to-face relationship. Instead, we're concerned about our image, in the online image, in the persona that we are trying to create for everybody around us to think who we are in this online thing. We want this make so bad better. We're putting every single effort to our social media persona, and we're leaving our face-to-face relationships behind. We're allowing. We'll share our hearts and our thoughts and broadcast them in 140 characters. We'll share the most revelation that we had for the Lord in our social media instead of a dude, you want to get with coffee? Let's develop this and I'll tell you what God is doing in my life right now. I got so convicted, guys. And I'm making you be convicted too with me. We're with you together. We're in this one together. Listen, we're allowing social media to replace the intimacy of friends. Listen, social media is not a replacement of friendships. Social media could be a supplement, but not a replacement. You see, that's the problem, because we're allowing social media to be the replacement of my friendships instead of making social media be the supplement. That's where we're getting it wrong. You understand that's making sense for you? Say yes. So it's not just me. Social media cannot be a replacement, guys. It can only be a supplement. And the fourth, sorry, I have another point I forgot. We're afraid to be open and to be vulnerable to people because of hurt. And this is when it really hit me. 3 weeks ago, I went to this thing, deliverance thing. Okay, yep, I did it. And the first thing that the girl said, it was like, you're afraid to trust people. And I was like, it cut deep. I was like, ooh, I hurt. Yeah, you got me. We're afraid. We don't want to be hurt by people. So what do? We put ourselves in this bubble of protection because we feel secure in that little bubble. We're afraid to be open to new people. Why? Because if I'm open to you, you may hurt me. You don't want to be open to people because the hurt that you've experienced in the past. Amen? Yeah. I'm gonna get to this later, okay? So if you listed two to three friends, I promise you that God wants you to have more than that. If you list even five, God wants you to have more than that. And I'm wanting to spend the last few minutes. This message is pretty short, so I have 55 more minutes. So it's just pretty short. So just get comfortable. Just kidding. You can laugh, guys. Come on. Just relax. We're going to have a good time, okay? I'm sorry if I'm being pretty direct, but I'm not really sorry. I'm going to spend the last few minutes about talking about the friend we need to be to others. You're like, oh, my gosh, yeah, like they're like bad friends. But I'm going to look into us, the friend we need to be to others, rediscovering the purpose of friendship. Let's rediscover what God intended to friendships to be. Let's rediscover that. Let's go back to what God says. I'm going to share with you what I consider to be the most important two greatest needs I see in our friendships in our world now. Two greatest needs, okay? And I'm going to share with you rediscovering the purpose of friendships. Two thoughts if you're taking notes. The first, you're taking notes, right? If not, I'm judging you in the inside, okay? Just saying, I'm going to throw it out there. If you're taking notes, I love you. If you're not taking notes, we'll talk later. The first thing I want you to beg with all my heart, I want to beg you with all my heart, is learn how to be present. You want to rediscover the purpose of friendships? Be present. Because whether you like it or not, presence matters. If you don't mind, repeat after me. Are you ready? Say, I will develop my friendships face to face, no thumbs to thumbs. Oh, I got you over there, didn't I? I will develop my friendships face to face, not just thumbs to thumbs. Would you agree with that? Let's learn how to be present, because presence matters. Listen, when Jesus said to his disciples, Jesus never said to the disciples, hey, Peter, John, hey, dude, here's a book about me. Read it, learn it, I'll see you later. Did he do that? What did Jesus say? Hey, he said, follow me. In other words, let's do life together. Hey, let's have breakfast together. Hey, let's travel from community to another community together. Hey, the best thing I can impart the love of my Father to you is spending time with you 24/7. And the best thing that you can learn from the Father is you allowing you to spend time with me. When he said, follow me, he said, let's do life together. Let's develop our relationship so you can learn the heart of the Father through me. Where have we got it wrong? Where have we started like, hey, read that book about friendships and learn it. Let's be present with one another. Be present. The writer of Hebrews says something that has been true throughout history, and it could never be more relevant and more prophetic for us right now. Look at me. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Go to me with that. No, go to me. Go with me, okay? Sorry. I get too excited. By the way, I want to go back to the five friends that you posted in your little paper. Your friends, your wife, if you're married, is not included in there, okay? I mean, my wife is my best friend, okay? But it's outside our families, okay? So if you put your wife in there, or your husband, okay? Just throwing it out there, because I forgot to tell you. The Holy Spirit just reminded me, so... Man, I'm having a good time in here right now. I haven't spoken in a long time, so I'm making it the best right now because I'm having fun. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another towards acts of love and good works. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and what? And good works. When was the last time you got together with your best friends and say, hey guys, let's go do something radical for Jesus. Let's go feed the homeless. Let's go do this. When was the last time you sat with your friend, not just to drink coffee and say what was going on between you, but when was the last time you went and say, hey, let us go and let the love of Jesus be known in this city. Let's do it with our friendship. Let's go. I've never done it. I'm sorry, but I'm convicted in this too. Hey, how can we serve someone? And the writer of the Hebrews goes and says, and let us not neglect our what? Our what? Our what? Our meeting together. Let us not neglect our meeting together. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Meeting together. Meeting together is in the work in the Greek, and it's used only two times in the Bible. And this meeting together, this is what it means. To meet physically with a spiritual purpose. In the Greek, this actually says, the meaning together says, let's meet physically with a purpose. Let us not neglect our meeting together with a spiritual purpose, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You can see there is power in physical presence, not just like, hey man, I'm with you, but physical presence. I always explain it like this. What if I'm sitting and I told Kirsty after this? I said, babe, we're going to have a movie that night. We're going to watch Netflix because we're going to put Noah to bed early and we're going to watch Netflix. But I'm going to sit with you. You're going to sit in the living room and I'm going to sit in the bedroom. But we're going to watch the same movie at the exact same thing, at the exact same time. You're going to eat popcorn. I'm going to eat popcorn. I mean, but we're going to do it together, right? Okay? I'll yell at you when you have to push play. You see the difference? There is power in presence. I cannot tell Kirsty, let's have a night, a date, a movie night, if she's in another bedroom and I'm in the other one. I say, babe, are you enjoying the movie? There is power in presence. When my grandpa passed, I was about 16 or 15, I think. My last grandpa, both of my grandpas have passed, but it was a hard time. Like I haven't experienced a direct family death in a long time. Thank God. But when this happened, two of my best friends were there and I was crying really bad. And Juan Carlos didn't say a word, but he just came and cried with me. That's it. And I remember that today. He didn't have to say a word to me because I didn't need words. I just needed someone there to cry with me. You know why? Because there is power in presence. Listen, guys, the most impactful things that I've done as a pastor or as a friend or as a whatever you want to call me, the most impactful things that I've done in these last 3 years, just being there for people. That's it. I didn't have to preach a message. I didn't have to do these things. I didn't have to bring my guitar to do worship. I just needed to be there for them. And that has the most impactful thing in the life of the people that I've been around. If you go ask someone that I've done something with, it, I've been my friend, they're going to tell you they remember me not just because of my awesome messages, but because I was with them when they needed someone. That's it. And I'm not telling you this so you can be, oh my gosh, he's an awesome friend. No, I'm just telling you to tell you that there is power in presence. There is a difference when I'm telling you, hey, Jason, I'm praying for you, bro. Instead of like, I'm praying with you, man. There's a difference when I text you and I say, hey, Wesley, dude, you're awesome, man. And dude, I believe in you, and I'm so proud of you. When I look into your eyes and say, dude, you're awesome, I believe in you, there is no one like you. You see what I'm trying to say? There is power in presence. There is power when you're with someone. Exactly 1 year ago, I went through the most hard season in my life. Exactly. I think it's today or tomorrow. Exactly one year ago, I went through the hardest transition of my life. And I had a lot of people praying for me, and I was good. But listen, the most impactful thing that I've done is seeing this old mentor that I had. And it was a random thing. And where were we? In which store? Where? World Market. We were looking for stuff. And I was so anxious and so worried. And this transition, big transition. And this guy comes and says, dude, suck it up. Hardest thing in my life. Like, and Jesus just said, suck it up. And that was a shift. You see, there is power when he spoke that over me directly. There is power when this other pastor came to me and spoke the greatest that he saw in me. He was like, literally, the greatest that I see in you is blah, blah, blah. And I start bawling and I start crying. There is a difference when someone prays for you, when someone prays with you. There's something that happens, guys, when two or three are gathered together in his name. There's something about his presence. There's something about his goodness. There is something that happens when someone just don't send you a text. We have to realize that we're not going to make it alone. You're not going to make it alone. You're not. Kirsty and I, like a year ago, we were two in New Mexico. We have no friends. And you probably heard this before. We had no friends. We had some friends that lived like 2.5 hours ago that we hang out probably once a month or something like that. We had no friends, no community, no nothing, not even mentors, not even nothing. It was just her and I alone with Kurt, with Noah, trying to do a ministry. The hardest thing that I've ever done. And that in that whole 10 months that I was there, I know by a fact that I couldn't do it alone because I had to quit. I was like, I cannot do this by myself. It's impossible. And I am telling you guys, you cannot do it alone. You want to have a good marriage? Well, you're not going to have it alone. You want to have a good, you want to have be successful in leadership? Well, you're not going to do it alone. You're going to change the world? You're not going to do it alone. Look at Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of the Almighty, King of Kings, came and what? He used people. He hung out with the disciples. He said, let's do that. Let's laugh together. Jesus intended, he wanted to have the community. When has our mindset changed? Oh, yes, I'm going to do it. I don't need anybody. When? We were not, you cannot, you will never, could never do it alone. You're not. You need community. You need people that will run with you. You need people that will pray with you. You need people that will that you can call to in the morning. You need them. We need them. You're probably thinking, well, there's not much out there. You know, I have to find the right one. I have to find the one that matches my personality. Well, I have to find the one that matches my mindset. I have to find the one that matches my theology. I want to find the one that is that we can be alone together forever. Amen. Be one. And what I mean by be one is this. You want a friend to be honest? Be honest. If you want to have a good friend, be a good friend. If you want a friend that will be with you at all times, be a friend that will be with you at all times. That could be with someone at all times. It has to start with you. It has to start.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you enjoyed this week's message. For more information about The Door and Take the City, please visit us at www.takethecity.com. Have a blessed week.